to everybody. Joe put this package on the stage last week and said we're going to have a special surprise. So I just want to ask, how many people guessed what was under the box in the package? Not a few people. Most people didn't. It's probably not what you were expecting, right? That's what happens during Christmas. Before I get into my sermon, I'm going to ask Joe to come up here for us. I did this to him by surprise last sermon, so he's not surprised, at least this time. But
I thought you were going to skip it.
No, of course not. Joe is the pastoral minister here, if you're new here, but everybody else knows him and loves him, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank him. Joe allows me to preach every now and then, but a lot of the bulk of it is on him, and he's kind of like an example to me. You're a younger big brother, and I want to be like you when I grow up, because Joe's the only person I ever seen to preach a sermon. He had the Bible right here, preach for 30 minutes, don't turn a page, and preach the whole sermon, and, you know, just give you straight the word of God. But you, sir, are a great example. You're a valuable member of this church. I love you. So, we bring you the birth of a king today. So, today's Sunday. 2 days from now, it's Tuesday. So I'm going to ask you, whose birthday is it Tuesday? Some people know the secret. Yeah, Tuesday's my birthday. I was born on Christmas Day. 61, 62 years ago, I'm using to lose. The older I get, the more I lose count. I heard it was Jesse's birthday, too. Is that right? Jesse's birthday is tomorrow. So I make a point of saying that because there are lots of fallacies about Christmas. And that's part of the problem with what we deal with Christmas. Because to be honest with you, because Christmas Day, because December 25th is my birthday, I did a lot of research about Jesus Christ and Christmas and whatever. And if you really do the research and study, you will understand, come to know that December 25th probably was not the day that Jesus was born. The shepherds watching their flock, they can't watch him in December because it's really cold. So, you know, it would have been another time. But all that's really not important because we still are here to celebrate the season. And Jesus was born, and he did come on earth. And that is the reason, the one and only reason, that we celebrate Christmas. So we understand the birth of Jesus Christ and the coming of Christ through the book, the Bible. The Bible was given to us. It was written over a span of 1,500 years by 40-some-plus authors. And it connected the whole story of Jesus. It wasn't just a little part in Luke. One of the things that I hear people say that's sort of clever is that the Old Testament is Jesus concealed and the New Testament is Jesus revealed. So if you actually get into the connection, there was a 400-year split between the Old Testament that predicted some over 300 different instances specifically about Jesus Christ, about his coming, about his birth, about his life, and about his death. 400 years before a split, God was silent, and then the New Testament came in which Jesus Christ actually came on the scene. And when Jesus came on the scene, the Jews, of course, had been asking all of this time and all through their history, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. We want to conquer. But when Jesus came, he came like this. And it wasn't anything that we were expecting. So I want to take you to Luke where it talks about Jesus coming. And it says in Luke, Chapter 1, 30-33, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. A little weird situation there because Mary, of course, was a virgin. And you have to understand, Jesus had to come that way because had he been tainted with full blood by man, he would have been born with sin, but Jesus was born without sin. When he came, though, it wasn't in a big palace. It wasn't a grand entrance. It was in a manger. But the Bible also, in Isaiah, tells us, it predicts that Jesus isn't what we were expecting. It says he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces when he was despised, and we esteemed him not. This kind of explains why Jesus came on the scene, when he came on the scene, and things happened, and he lived among men. People still, unfortunately, didn't get it. They didn't get it. So thus goes the theme of this sermon today, because a lot of people still don't get Christmas. Jesus wasn't what they were expecting when he came on earth. So my question to you, one of them is today, what do you expect for Christmas? What do you expect for Christmas? I'm going to tell you something. It really doesn't matter what you expect for Christmas, because I will challenge you to remember more than one thing that you got last Christmas. Probably can't remember what you got last Christmas, because a lot of times the stuff we get isn't life-changing stuff. It's stuff that's not really important. It's stuff that we actually don't really need. Lots of times we might be looking for something special, but we might get something that we don't expect. We go under the tree, we pick out the biggest box we can find, we shake it, try to figure out what's in it. We open it up, and it's a pair of socks and underwear. And we smile and try to act surprised, because it really wasn't what we expected. It's a deal that we do over and over again for Christmas, because we actually kind of get off track. We get into these fallacies, we get into these things that don't point to Jesus, we get into all kinds of stuff, stories that are built around the Christmas story. We deal with, stuff like the Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all of this stuff that was built around stuff that has nothing to do with Jesus. We actually even get into this thing called Santa Claus. You know, and then we have to worry about how we're going to explain stuff to kids. And I heard this thing about a man. It's four stages of a man's life. The first stage is that he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. No, he believes in Santa Claus. And the second stage is that he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. And then the third stage, because I'm a father of four, he is Santa Claus. And then the fourth stage is he looks like Santa Claus. So Santa Claus is with us throughout this time. You know, it's kind of built around this thing. And I know we have the story of St. Nicholas, but all kinds of crazy stuff built around Christmas. And unfortunately, because stuff is built around Christmas, it doesn't meet our expectations. You find a lot of people that get into depression. There is actually a clinical name for this. It's called seasonal anxiety disorder, the acronym SAD. People end up with a messed up state of mind for Christmas because they're pointing to the wrong thing. As a young couple, my wife and I, when we started raising our kids, we went from one kid to two kids to three kids in 3 years, unfortunately. Well, it was fortunate. I don't know. She couldn't stay away from me. And then, you know, the fourth kid came. And then you start asking questions about, you know, around September, October. Hey, what do you think you want for Christmas? Because you know it's going to hit you in the pocket. You got to come up with some money. Start asking those questions. What do you want for Christmas? And they start naming off this big list of expensive stuff. And then you, okay, well, narrow it down to one or two special things. And, you know, you start worrying about the debt. You start spending money that you don't really have on stuff that you don't need. You start picking out presents for people that you don't like because everybody in the office has got to give Christmas presents to people. Your teenage daughter wants an $80 pair of jeans that's got holes in them. and you can't figure out why you want to buy a pair of jeans with holes in them. Well, that's the new style. I'm like, well, I was ashamed to wear jeans with holes in when I was a kid, but now they cost $10 back then. Now they cost $80, and you're buying them already with holes in them? I tell you what, I get you the $10 jeans, and I'll rub some holes in them and see if they're... But we deal with this stuff, and we really don't need it. And we run into a lot of stress, and we run into a lot of worry. I was out this weekend driving around, unfortunately, to the stores, and I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't no good time, it wasn't no fun time, and it wasn't no happy time. And I had to keep in my mind that I was going to be preaching Sunday, because it was a couple of things I wanted to tell people that was driving in front of me. It gets you, Christmas gets you off track. And if you don't have a stable, if you don't have anything stable to keep you, you're going to end up in this bad shape, in this bad situation. You know why? People think they need to be happy during Christmas. And there's a problem with happiness. Happiness is based on emotions. Emotions change depending on the circumstance. Circumstances will push your emotions up or they will push your emotions down. And it's something that's not very long-lived. Sheryl Crow said it best. She wrote a song, if it makes you happy, it can't be all that bad. But if it makes you happy, then why are you so sad? I want you to think about a lot of stuff during Christmas that makes people happy. Partying, drinking, you know, spending money, getting up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to try to get something that you don't need, the TV, it's marked down to $100. I got to go out 4 o'clock in the morning to get this television. And you already got 5 or 6 TVs. Stuff that you don't need. And we have enough stuff. We have enough stuff already. I want you to, because I know some of y'all are going to bust back out to the store this afternoon and get that last one or two thing. I want you to think, I can save you some money. You don't need to do that. Because let me ask you something. If you didn't get the kid that gift or your loved one that gift, what's going to happen next week? Are they going to run away from you? No. Because the most important thing that you deal with is stuff that you really can't buy. I want to talk about something. The opposite of this happiness thing. The Bible and Jesus Christ doesn't promise us happiness. It promises us joy. I'm going to tell you where it comes from. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The joy thing. Everything that I listed, everything that it talks about in the book of Galatians is nothing that you can drive out this afternoon and go to a bunch of stores and purchase. But it's the most important thing because I'm going to tell you something, and I'm guilty of this too. If I was full of that stuff that's in the Bible right there, I would have no concern about what I was getting or giving for Christmas. Because I would have everything that I need. So I'm going to ask you, where are you in this scenario? Because God gave us Jesus Christ, and the presence of Jesus Christ in our life, not the presence, is what brings us joy. I want to thank Lisa for that because she talked about that a few weeks ago when the ladies had their big dinner. The presence of Jesus Christ, not presence, is what brings us joy. So for Christians and non-Christians, whether you're a churchgoer, whether this is your first time here, whether you never heard anything about Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you a question. Where is Jesus Christ's presence? Where is his presence in your life? Because that really affects Christmas, and it affects your attitude about Christmas. I learned a long time ago, after I went through years and years of trying to get the stuff for the kids and going into debt and almost waiting until the next year after Christmas to try to pay off all of that stuff that I bought for Christmas that I really didn't need. You know, you go to get this special toy for the kid, you know, and the kid opens it up and plays with it for a couple of hours. Next thing you know, you go and you look at the box, the thing came out of the kid playing with the box. And the toy is over there either broken or they don't even think about it anymore. And you went through all of that trouble. But God's presence in my life lets me understand something. All of the stuff isn't important because the stuff's going to go away. I'm going to take you back to the scripture. I'm going to take you back to Luke. And we're going to talk about the scenario that the Bible describes when Jesus was born. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "So it was while they were there that days were accomplished that she should be delivered, Mary. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, if you're not a Bible scholar and you never really opened your Bible and read this, if you look at Charlie Brown, Linus recited this. So everybody really knows this verse because they're familiar with it because you see it on Charlie Brown every year. But this is one of the other problems with Christmas. People relate Christmas and Charlie Brown and Rudolph and Santa Claus and all this other stuff and what actually happened in the Bible to a fairy tale. The reality of what happened leaves us. Fact of the matter is this, and we talked about this. This Bible that was written so many years ago is still sustained because it is an actual historic document. As people have tried to disprove it, as archaeologists have tried to dig and find things, the only thing they find when they compare their findings and science to the Bible is they find that this Bible is right. They have not been able to disprove it. So what does that tell me when I look at Luke and we have this beautiful story of the birth of Jesus? It tells me when Jesus came, something happened. I'm not sure what it is, but something happened. And it had to be real. Because upon the birth and presence of Jesus Christ, you know what happened? Time split. Think about it. Our calendar, historically and worldwide, is based on the events that happened before Jesus and the events that happened after Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether people believe in Jesus or not. They believe in a B.C. and an A.D. So if I don't believe in Jesus, why am I basing my time on the birth of somebody that wasn't important? Time split because the reality of the life of Jesus Christ says that he was born in a manger. He lived on earth for 33 years. He died, and then something else happened. He rose. He rose from the dead. Something happened that allowed Jesus Christ to rise from the dead. What this tells me is that he either was who he said he was, which was the Son of God, or he was a big fake. Can't nobody fake it like that, that's going to be able to split time. But what's even more important than Jesus being born, dying, and rising again, he's coming back. He's coming back. And we are in now, church, a time of preparation. And you know, this is really one of the reasons that people kind of afraid to die, because whether they believe in Jesus Christ or not, if this heart start ticking, what's going to happen? Where will I be? How will I end up? Let me tell you something. If I never see tomorrow, I'm okay. Because Jesus Christ has me secure. And I want you to feel that same way too. I want to talk about some other people that the world follows. I looked up some other religions and some other religious leaders, and I did some research. And all of these people are pretty important people because they also impacted the world and they changed things. And I'm going to be honest with you, millions of people follow these individuals. Prophet Muhammad founded the religion of Islam. He lived about 600 years after Jesus came. He wrote the Quran over the course of about 23 years, influenced millions of people, actually was a part of what the Bible predicted as seeds of Abraham being spread all over the earth. This is why there are millions of people that believe in the prophet Muhammad in Islam. But there's something about this prophet. When he was taking over land and making his kingdom bigger, he actually went into this village, killed about 600 people. And one of the women whose husband he was responsible for killing decided she wanted to give Muhammad a meal. So she fed him some poison in his meal. Now, you would think, being a prophet, he would kind of know this stuff wasn't any good. I mean, even if I'm eating some bad food, I can kind of smell it. I'm thinking I ain't going to eat that. But the prophet didn't figure out the food was bad. She poisoned him. He ended up, as a result of being poisoned, dying. People still continued to push on Islam. Joseph Smith started out as a Bible school student. He founded Mormonism because he had an additional vision that told him, it's something else that's going on outside of this Bible. I'm going to make you a prophet, and you need to actually carry on a second version of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make you my leader. So he started Mormonism. He went out kind of in a blaze of glory because after he was jailed, some of his followers smuggled some guns into the jail for him to escape, and while he was escaping from the jail, he got in a gunfight and he got killed. Wasn't too good. Charles Taze Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, started out as a Bible school student, studying the Bible, and then he ran into this thing called hell that the Bible talks about, and he says, God wouldn't send people to hell. Must be something else to this. So he started changing scripture and developing his own philosophies around this. Actually predicted the world was going to end a few times. Well, when the time came and it passed, he had no answers for it. Lots of his followers ended up leaving and splitting up. Jehovah's Witnesses will continue to redo the Bible because every time that they're disproved, they have to rewrite the scripture to kind of back what it is they say. But still, millions of people follow them. Matter of fact, I had this dude, this is a watchtower, y'all. Y'all know what it is? They come to you, they pass this stuff out. Left this thing on my car. It says, the way of happiness. I'm talking about happiness and joy. I wish I'd have ran into this dude when he gave me this thing talking about happiness, because happiness ain't going to get it. They think in order for them to be connected with God, or however they do it, they got to go out and pass these things out and talk to people about, and they got to work their way to heaven. Let me tell you what, it don't work that way. L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology. First time he got arrested was 1948 for swindling people out of money. He continued to swindle people out of money until the time he died in the 70s. Actually went into exile the last 20 years of his life because he was evading taxes and the government was hunting him down for tax evasion. Owed the government millions of dollars. Started out as a mystery writer. Ended up writing a book called Dianetics. People got into it and followed it. Got millions of followers still. The last two people, Siddhartha Gautama, Confucius, philosophies of Buddhism and Confucianism. These guys were actually generally good guys. They actually figured out that there needed to be a change in the morality of man and started lots of generally good philosophies. Didn't believe in God, though. They just kind of figured man needed to be good and to be better and to be better, and eventually he's going to reach this state of perfection and that he would be all right. Something wrong with all of this stuff. Millions of people in the world followed, are following, have followed these individuals, but it's something different about them. Nobody really celebrates their birth. Lots of their deaths was tragic. Jesus' death was tragic. None of them died and got back up again. There are no worldwide historical celebrations based on the birth, life, and death of any of these guys. Only Jesus Christ. Why? Why Jesus? Why is Jesus different? Everybody's going to recognize in the world the name of Jesus, whether they believe him in him or not. The reality of people recognizing Jesus and it being different is that Jesus was born. We celebrate Christmas because it is the true story of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you don't believe that, if you can't quite get it in your head, I'm going to tell you something. There's no reason for you to be here in church today. It's no reason for us to celebrate Christmas. I love Christmas time, even though, like I said, December 25th might not be the actual birth of Jesus, but it is the time that we use to commemorate Jesus came on earth. It's the time that we used to celebrate. It's the time we used to recognize that he was the true gift, the gift that God gave us. I want to show you something else the Bible talks about in the book of Philippians, if you put that on the screen for me. Something that they say about Jesus. Philippians 2, 9, 11 says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, for those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There will be a time in everybody's life here, whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not, you're either going to leave here on earth and wake up figuring out I was right or wrong, or he's going to come back while we're still alive. But everybody is going to experience the same thing, the reality of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of Lords. Doesn't matter whether you're on his side or not. Because the Bible tells us that even Satan recognizes who Jesus Christ is. Many of those religious leaders that I put on the screen recognize who Jesus Christ is, or they will at least acknowledge him. The problem with those guys is they didn't think he was God. They were looking for something else because he wasn't quite what they were expecting. But during this time, we celebrate, and I want to encourage you to celebrate. We sing songs to the glory of Jesus Christ. I can't think of any other religious leaders or thing that actually have songs that recognize their leader. But we sing songs that document who Jesus is as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. We sing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. We sing Silent Night, Holy Light, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus Lord at thy birth. And when I was thinking about these songs, there was one that was special to me, but I want to talk about this gift for a second, because one of the things I used to do a lot, people always like to pick out the biggest gift. So sometimes I fool people. I get a big old giant box, and I make them go through all kinds of paper and unwrap it. So I did it to one of my kids one year. I put them in a big box, and what I did is I came up with a gift card. Now, there's something about gift cards. People give out gift cards. It's so impersonal. So impersonal. Well, if I gave you a $1,000 gift card, you wouldn't think that was impersonal. You would love me to death. But if I give you a $5 gift card, you'd be like, okay, you couldn't think of anything else, so, you know. This is a gift card to a restaurant. I got to do something with this gift card in order to eat. I got to take it, and I got to go to the restaurant, and I got to cash it in. Well, let me tell you something. 2,000 years ago, God gave us a gift card, which was Jesus Christ. You got your gift card in your pocket? Many of us have our gift card. Have you cashed it in? Have you gotten what I talked about as far as that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, happiness, goodness? Do you have that? Because that's what you get with this gift card that's in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something about it. You cash this in. You go to Jesus Christ's restaurant. It says that you'll never thirst again. He will give you living water. The Bible will tell you, go taste and see that the Lord is good. Whether you know Jesus Christ or not, you got a gift card. You just got to use it. Some of us that are Christians that have accepted Jesus Christ and been baptized, we've used our gift card. But we forget it's something different about his gift card. There's no expiration date, and there's no limit to what you can spend. He got everything. And I can cash it in time and time again. Sometimes as Christians, we have this in our pocket, like I did this gift card, and sit there. We go through trouble. We go through worry and concern. Stuff goes wrong in our life, and that happiness meter goes from up to down. And we think all is lost, but we forget to cash our gift card in. He says, come, all you're weak and weary and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you know Jesus Christ, cash that gift card in. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the card is here. All you got to do is take it and use it. This last song we're going to sing, it tells you, if you don't know Jesus, it tells you to come. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to use that free gift card that he gave you. That's the reason that we celebrate Christmas. If I have my prayer people, I want y'all to come up front because I'm going to ask you, right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to come. I'm not talking about joining Wildwood. I'm talking about joining a family. A family that's going to love you and take care of you. Joining a Christ that can feed you forever, that won't run out. He won't run out of the love. He won't run out of that thing that you're looking for when you go to that mall that you can't find. He can give it to you. He can prepare it for you. We have baptism water. We got it ready anytime you want to go in. We're ready for you. If it's today, if it's next week, we're ready for you. If you don't quite understand what I'm talking about and you want to talk about it a little bit more, come talk to one of these people. We'd be glad to pray with you, and we'd be glad to explain everything to you. But I want you to come. I want you to listen to the words of this song.